it's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants. And coming up in this week's show, Don Quixote figures himself out. Jim Lee is actually in movie news, and if you don't know who he is, I'll get to it. I'll keep you up to date. And Jeremy Irons is in a superhero show, but ironically, not as Iron Man, because you'd think, right? That would go together. But we're going to start with a bit of actual news with Terry Crews. And I can't rhyme any more than that because I'm not feeling very Dr. Seussian this morning. Terry Crews has been in the news with because he's been in front of the Senate and on C-SPAN talking about the sexual harassment and assault stuff that he's witnessed over the years and even been involved of in that he's been harassed and assaulted, which for Terry Crews seemed... Did that strike anyone else as being slightly odd? Because I can't see anyone just randomly walking up to someone of his size and going, ooh, grope.
Yeah, it's odd, but it's, I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important that he came forward with that. Because if Terry Crews, if this can happen to Terry Crews, obviously this can happen to anybody. And it's about exactly. Economic power. It's not about physical power. And, you know, it's like, well, if I want this job, if I ever want to work in Hollywood again, you know, the old line, which maybe unfortunately is true too often. Scary.
I'll just say wrong. Build the wall.
Well, you know, I think Todd has a good point. I mean, because it's like, I mean, it works both ways. I mean, we only normally hear about it from, and you know, it's wrong either way, but we normally hear about it from female side. We don't hear about it from the male side, and it does happen.
And
actually the never work in Hollywood again thing goes along with this story, because he said he's not going to be in the fourth Expendables film, not because there's not going to be one, which I think is where all of us wanted it to go, but because he was asked by one of the producers of the film to drop his case against an agent who's accused of groping Terry Crews, apparently. And Crews said, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
And my immediate thought is, why is this person still a producer of this film?
That's what I was thinking. Why is this?
I'm sure that's going to be next.
Considering the rush to judgment people typically have, and they lose their careers, this is one gig for this producer. I'm kind of thinking the studio should say, you're gone.
I suspect that's going to be in one of the stories of next week's show. So tune in next week. Yeah, it's just a horrible thing all around. It's good news that he's coming out and saying all these things that are leading us in what I think is the right direction.
Right.
Bad news that it still happens, which is, you know.
Exactly.
Not a good thing. Moving on to other movie news. More movie related, though. The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. Terry Gilliam's film has finally come out of the legal battle. Again, a couple weeks ago, they announced that Paul Branco, who's one of the producers of the movie, said, no, he still owns it and they shouldn't have shown it at whatever film festival that was that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. The show is still online. Go listen to it.
Secret City Film Festival. That's what it was.
Anyway, they went to court again and it turned out, no, he only owns the rights to play it in France or something, and they want to do a global distribution, so you know what, go ahead. So Don Quixote, or I guess The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, coming soon to a theater somewhere outside France. I don't know if it's going to be coming to Oak Ridge or not. It could.
It's ironic, really. It should be a theater somewhere outside Spain. But
you'd think there would be more of a thing there, but there isn't. Anyway, that's all the news I have on that. That's a thing. Okay, so the show is in need of help already. That's a segue, surprisingly enough, as is allegedly the Star Wars franchise, because the Solo film isn't doing as well as everyone else. So when you need help in the Star Wars movie, who do you call on? Here's a hint. It was in the first movie, and Princess Leia did a little hologram about it.
Ghostbusters.
There you go.
Bill Murray.
That's thinking too.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is supposed to be returning in Star Wars 9, allegedly as, you know, a forced ghost being played by Ewan McGregor. But that's not the only news for Obi-Wan. There's going to be the long-awaited Obi-Wan Kenobi solo movie that is coming. Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Han Solo. What? The Obi-Wan standalone movie that's going straight to the Disney streaming service that's coming out soon. That sounds like they didn't do a good. They already filmed it and didn't do a good job. Isn't that what that sounds like?
Yeah, that sounds like. Should we take it to the theaters and maybe make $1 billion if it's really popular, or should we just like dump it on our new? Wow, I don't exactly have high hopes for that film based on the fact that I get it that this could be a draw. It's a loss leader. This is going to get more people to sign up for the streaming service, maybe, but that sounds like it's terrible, like you said.
And it may be terrible, but I think you hit on it in the fact that really just it's getting people to sign up probably for the streaming service. And so, I don't know, some of the best films I've ever seen are direct-to-TV. No, that's such a joke. I'm sure it's lousy, but it will get people to sign up for the streaming service, just not me.
Well, but you're right. I mean, sometimes made for now streaming or whatever are terrific movies. But
like Atlantic Rim.
Yeah. When you've, but you know, The Beast of the Southern Wild, I mean, that was made for Netflix. I mean, and there have been a lot of really good movies made strictly for being watched online. But still, when you've got a franchise.
Like you said, made for that, right?
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is
great to
scary
laser
because.
Disc.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, I don't know offhand what their average is, not counting the actual Star Wars movies, but counting all the new crap. What's the average global 800 million, something like that?
Something in that area.
And you're going to pass that up so you can launch a streaming service that probably a lot of people are going to want anyway, because it's not like you only have 5 movies in your catalog.
Yeah, this is Disney. They've got a catalog of billions of things.
Yeah, that seems that sounds like, oh, here's more terrible news about the Star Wars franchise. Wow.
Yeah, not a good. I don't think that's going to be a good start for their streaming service.
No.
But there is other news about a different streaming service that we've been hearing about for a while, and details finally came out about the DC Comics Universe streaming service. And I don't know if you guys saw this. I'm liking the way this sounds now. Someone's phone is going off, but that's
not mine.
Toddly.
Yeah.
Anyway, the DC streaming universe, first off, is headed by Jim Lee. Now, if you don't know Jim Lee, he's been a comic book creator for, I can say, decades now. Did a lot of spectacular work with Marvel, doing X-Men books. Left Marvel to form Image Comics with a bunch of other spectacular artists and created some really wonderful stuff. Now he's with DC Comics and doing some great stuff. And that's why I'm looking forward to this, because he's very good at what he does. And that's taking characters and going, this is the way the character should be, period. Run with it. And I like that. So more details on the streaming service. It's coming out later this year, sometime this fall. Allegedly, there's going to be a beta version of it in August. It's going to have original content like the Titans series, of which there's new pictures this week. What was it? A Swamp Thing series, a Harley Quinn series, plus all the old DC Comics related TV properties. So you're going to get, you know, like the new stuff with Constantine and Arrow. You're going to go back to Super Friends, which is had a lot more episodes than I remember. But all that's going to be there. Batman the Animated Series and Superman and Justice League. All of that's going to be there. But I think the one thing that ticked it over and made me go, I might do this, is it's not just going to be movies and TV, but you're going to have access to how do they phrase it? Hundreds of thousands of digital comics. Which I think if you're going to do it,
that's pretty cool.
That's the way you need to do this. And I think they went, ooh, good direction. And that's where they're going.
Yeah. And I think Jim Lee is Stan's son from Stan's years in the Korean War.
Isn't Jim Lee seriously the guy who first made the Batman with the really long, super pointy ears? Which is my favorite incarnation of Batman. Not how he acts.
I could not tell you.
Anyway.
I don't know that he did Batman. I know when he joined recently, he's done Superman.
It does look like he's done Batman, and he does have the longer ears. Yeah. That's correct.
It's just a cool visual. Anyway, it's very cool.
I think it sounds like a wonderful idea. I guess we can flip that and go with the big Marvel news this week that Kevin Feige wants to do a Power Pack movie. And if you don't know Power Pack, it's about, let's see, four children superheroes. And by children, I mean ages 9 and under. Made for a really wonderful mini series back in the 80s. No, it didn't. It was kind of a crap idea, I thought. But if that's what he wants to do, I'm sure he'll make it interesting.
Now, see, that sounds more like, oh, let's put this and sell it to Netflix or something. I mean,
right?
Wow.
That could be a Netflix series.
Or an animated. If it's animated and it's targeted to that same age group, it's like, yeah, okay, I can see that too. I mean, depends. I mean, Marvel hasn't exactly made many missteps lately, but that sounds kind of scary.
And I think that's the thing, is that it's a cha-ching thing. You might as well mine the gold while you can.
That is true. No kidding.
Or you could mine iron ore and pluck Jeremy Irons to be thrown into the HBO's version of the Watchmen series. See, he's in a superhero thing. I love the way they announced this article or announced this by saying, he's going to be in the Watchmen series. Really? Who's he playing? Well, he's playing, let me see here, a lead. it's a bit vague.
Good to know.
I believe he's playing a piece of lead because his last name is Iron. So I think you're misreading the spelling.
Oh, silly me.
Possible. We talked about this upcoming series before. It's set in the Watchmen universe, but it doesn't have any of the characters from Watchmen. And it's like, no, what the hell are you doing? It's not that I could care less about this. I have an active antipathy towards this. It's like, every time I hear about this, it makes me angry. Like, no, it's going to be shit. Sorry, but I mean, how stupid is that? Oh, my gosh. Watchmen without the Watchmen. Yay! No.
If they named it something else and said it's set in the Watchmen universe, that would work better in my head.
Okay, well, let's think about this. HBO announces they're going to do an Avengers series. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. It's all new original characters. None of the Avengers that we know about, none of the second tier, not even the West Coast Avengers. Nope, all new characters.
No, the Great Lakes Avengers. There was such a thing for like half.
There was such a thing, exactly. It's like, nope. We're going to make brand new characters that you know anything about and you may have completely not invested in.
Starring Mrs. Peel and Sean Connery.
And
wrong Avengers, sorry.
Yeah. And Watchmen is such a feel-good story anyway. It's like, I was like, what are you
saying? So is the Me Too movement and everything going on with the concentration camps in Texas.
Lord.
Oh, and speaking of horror stories, can either of you explain to me
The Trump presidency? No, I cannot. Only 6.5 more years of this.
Can either of you explain to me the necessity of making a Child's Play TV series? That was announced this week, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. This is Chucky. You remember Chucky? Why now? That movie came out, 7,000-8,000 years ago?
You know what?
They just had the most recent one last year.
Yeah, and Ready Player One really does a thing with Chucky. And people like responded to that. Did you guys see Ready Player One? Todd's seen it, right?
Yeah.
People really responded to that specific character and what they did with it. So I'm sure somebody saw that and was like, we can make some money off of a TV series. So let's run with it while we can, because that's how we are nowadays.
Occurred to me because Ready Player One I had put out of my head.
Here's a suggestion. Here's what they do. This is going to be like the Looney Tunes hour. So you do it's going to be the Chucky Power Pack hour, and it's 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
Because that
with his
go
friends
over.
Freddy and Jason.
Exactly.
As long as Robert Englund does the voice for all of them, we'll be.
And he could.
Bing Rames is the voice of Chucky from what
Chucky. If Bing Rames did the voice of Chucky, I would actually at least watch the first episode.
That's right. It's when he's trying to get Jason to do the dive and he just won't. So.
Wow. So that was my a sequel and or a reboot that we do not necessarily need at all whatsoever. Have you guys heard of any others this week that we don't need?
I have not heard of any new ones, no.
Okay, that's good. Because I don't want any more. I want original stuff, which...
Well, Expendables 4, you just mentioned that. That's one.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's quite true.
A whole bunch of them we don't need, but they're going to keep making as long as they keep making money.
Well, actually, that reminds me. The next Predator movie has a full trailer, which looks better than the teaser trailer we got earlier because it doesn't involve a kid controlling the spaceship with a toy. And yet, it still makes me think that I'll wait until it comes on Fox at 3 in the morning, and if I happen to be awake, I'll watch it then. Any new trailers of interest? Boy, has this been a slow week, because we're already at trailers, and we're, 15 minutes into the show?
I'm trying to think of... obviously, the Mission Impossible trailer is attached to everything. We've mentioned that before, but I don't think I've really seen any new trailers. It's like we're in a dirge of trailers at this point right now. It's like we're
waiting for... Everyone's waiting for Comic-Con to kick in to announce everything. So we'll
and Knoxville just had one, actually, this weekend.
Really?
Or this weekend they're having one, come to think of it. But yeah, so... And I think we've had that initial... push for all the summer movies, and now we're getting to July and August where it's like and then the fall movies haven't yet started, so I think we're in like that month leeway of like really, because they're going to push Mission Impossible more obviously because that comes out later this month because it's July, but I think that's, we're kind of waiting on some good movie trailers to come out instead of just action movie trailers or summer popcorn movie trailers.
Yep, welcome to the lull, which means gee, did we want to talk about Jim Carrey in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie? Oh, wait, just did. Moving on. What was the other thing, the other reboot I saw? Charlie's Angels. They finally announced who all three of the angels are going to be. One of them is going to be Naomi Scott from the recent Power Rangers movie. They called her a breakout star from the Power Rangers movie. I didn't know such a thing existed. And she's going to be joining, and I'm always going to mispronounce this, and I do apologize because I love her because she is the only actress in this that's worth seeing. Lupita Nyong'o?
Really?
Yeah.
Lupita?
Thank you.
They must have paid her a lot of money.
They must have. And the other angel is being played by Groot. Kristen Stewart.
You're right. Groot.
And for something that makes no sense, Elizabeth Banks is playing Bosley.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that trailer. When you put this on the outline, I was like, I don't think I've seen that trailer. Now that you mention Elizabeth Banks as Bosley, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I have seen that. It's funny because Elizabeth Banks has a lot of talent. She just sometimes doesn't choose well. I mean, she's actually a really good director, too. But
well, yeah, she's directing this project.
Is she? Yeah. You know, I had zero interest in it, but now that you mentioned Elizabeth Banks, because she's really good behind the camera and in front of the camera, that's like, well, maybe this may actually be worth watching.
So in front of the camera and behind the camera, how about in the camera? Does she fit?
I don't think she's in the Ant-Man movie, but she would have been an excellent Wasp, too. But, I mean, I'm not saying Evangeline Lilly. Sorry, Lee. Didn't even mean to go there. Evangeline Lilly is awesome. She will be the best Wasp ever. There's been no better actress ever other than since Neve Campbell. But anyway.
Todd clearly wants to build a northern wall as well, as it turns out. Keep the Canadians out.
Hockey would really suck. So, okay, you mentioned the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, which is coming out later this year. Actually, it's later, next week or something, right?
This coming weekend.
Wow. But that doesn't mean it's in the first half of the year.
It is not.
So it does not qualify for what we had originally going to call our top five movies of 2018 so far. Until Lee and I looked at the list of all the movies that we've seen, and we could not come up with five that we wanted to put in this list. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
There's a list on Esquire of the best sci-fi movies of 2018 so far.
Oh, dear.
And... this tells you how bad the sci-fi movies have been so far. They have Pacific Rim Uprising listed. Granted, it's the ninth one, but that's a terrible, god-awful piece of garbage that should have never have happened. Which makes me think that Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, that they didn't like it much, because that's between Pacific Rim and A Wrinkle in Time. Wow. This tells you
that's
really
not good.
Yeah, there may have been four or five good ones, but I have no idea why they actually included. Basically, they included almost any sci-fi movie just so they could throw it in there. It's a really poor, wow.
Not good.
Decision. Yeah. Which is funny because they must have hated Deadpool 2 because it's not on here. But The Incredibles 2 is. So I'm not sure why you don't include.
The only reason I did not include those in my top five is because I haven't had the chance to see either of them yet.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just odd that, wow.
I mean,
how could you possibly have liked Pacific Rim Uprising?
I saw that. I didn't want to put it in a top five because I don't think it deserved to be there. Same with Ready Player Run or Ready Player One. I'm going to get that out eventually. Wrinkle in Time, Solo.
Yeah,
I did not think they were worthy of being put in a top five.
And those are decent movies or good movies.
It's not that they're bad movies. It's just that,
exactly.
I did, however, and this is a movie that we have not talked about at all. No, it's not the number one thing. I'll get to that later because we're doing a countdown. I came across the title of the year, and I may have to track this movie down because I think the title of the year has to go with How Victor the Garlic Took Alexei the Stud to the Nursing Home. Okay. Now, I looked at that and went, oh, that sounds like one of those bizarre European comedy things. It's apparently a crime drama. And when I saw that, I went, okay, now I'm going to have to watch it and find out, wait, what the hell is that title about?
I am so there.
Unless you guys have a better title to...
I certainly do not.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
So...
Can't do it.
Let's do our I just have a top three. Todd, do you have more than a top three?
I have a top 27. No, I have three.
Okay. What do you got, Todd?
I will say number three for me is A Quiet Place. Awesome suspense, horror, thriller. Very little dialogue at all in the whole film. The visuals are so important to the movie, which makes the acting so important. And the acting is awesome. John Krasinski directs. Emily Blunt is... his co-lead, everyone in is absolutely terrific. And Emily Blunt does have her Emily Blunt badass moment in the film, which is, well, other than having to give childbirth in perfect silence, that's like ridiculous. Yeah. She does have a badass moment other than that. But man, what a really, really good movie. You're really not sure what's going to happen because maybe 5 minutes into the movie, something happens that you really do not expect. And from then on, it's like, okay, all the bets are off. I have no idea what's going to happen in this movie, which is great, which is absolutely great. It's terrific suspense / horror film.
Isn't it a horror film?
It's not. I mean, well.
I mean, it's being listed as a horror film, but to me it's more, suspense. Yeah, it's more of a suspense
film.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a lot like Stranger Things in a way. If you consider Stranger Things horror, then...
Right.
You would, but same vein.
Change the monster to just some homicidal maniac, and it's a Hitchcock movie. I mean, absolutely, it's like a Hitchcock movie. Just it has a monster instead.
Monsters, yeah.
Monsters, yeah. It's awesome.
Lee, what you got for number three?
Actually, I had the same thing. Although I did particularly care for
really?
Ironweed 2, which is just 2 hours of filming the whiskey glass sitting there with a dead hand. But my number three actually was A Quiet Place as well, because, you know, I was going through this through different lists when we were talking about, I have five, and I was like, I'm never going to come up with five that do justice. I knew that initially, but then going through all these lists, I was like, Neil actually sadly forgot about A Quiet Place because I for some reason was thinking it came out in December, but it came out earlier this year. And like Todd said, fantastic film. It's short. I mean, it's not even that long. It's an hour and a half long or something, but it's gripping the whole way through. There's never a time when it's not so gripping that you just get exhausted emotionally halfway through it. It just keeps you glued in, which is what any great movie should do. It does its job. Krasinski does a fantastic job directing the film.
Well, I guess that leaves it to my number three, which I'm sure is in you guys' top two, the Black Panther movie.
That is my number two, actually. See? Thanks for stealing my thunder, guys.
That's okay. I'm off by one for everything. Yeah, Black Panther I thought was a great movie, beautifully visual, and it showed that Marvel can do a superhero movie without the superhero being a complete smartass. I think it's the first one of those we've got. And it still worked because he had a smartass sidekick, sister, however you want to...
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. However you want to do it. So
if I could jump on that real fast.
Go right ahead.
Black Panther, as good as it was to me, is Michael B. Jordan and the bad guy. Because... Yeah. Because what made the bad guy is it? Well, he wasn't just one-dimensional, I'm evil and bad. He actually had moments, or he had parts of his character that you could identify with because of what he had gone through personally. So, you know, did he take it over the top? Yeah, of course. But still, it reminded me, and I think we've talked about this, like Alan Rickman's character in Die Hard. I mean, you kind of felt the same empathy towards him, and to some degree because of what you knew had happened to him in his life. So I think that's what, I mean, the movie's great even without Michael B. Jordan being as great as he is in that role and the character being drawn as well as it was, but that puts it over the top to me to make it in my top three.
I agree. Black Panther is an awesome movie. Actually did not make my top three, and I had a really big struggle with that. And if you ask me like at 11:30, I might change my mind and say, no, that was actually better, but I have reasons for that. But yeah, then for all the reasons you guys gave, I mean, the visuals, Michael B. Jordan's performance, and I do want to point, Chad, and I know you guys don't think, oh, Boseman was terrible. It's like, Chadwick Boseman is great, and he can be overlooked because there are so many bigger, flashier roles. He has to be the center. So he's kind of just a toned-down performance. He's terrific, but he doesn't have the weight of his story that Michael B. Jordan has to carry. And he doesn't have the smart-ass lines. So he just has to – he doesn't carry the film because he didn't have to because he's surrounded by awesome performances. But I think sometimes he gets overlooked because there's so many, oh, my gosh, Lupita Nyong'o was awesome and Michael B. Jordan and on and on and on. So, yeah, he is excellent too.
Well, in that case, what's your number two movie?
My number two movie is a little different from – the movies we've been talking about. It's Love, Simon, a coming of age movie, which God knows there are 10,000 of those. I mean, Lady Bird just from last year is best film nominated, and it's a terrific film. Love, Simon is told from the standpoint of a gay relationship. So not only is Simon, obviously the lead character, going through all of the struggles of, oh, do I tell the person I'm in love with and blah, 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 but he's trying to figure out who the hell he is. And then he's trying to figure out if it's okay to be who he is. Despite all that, it's basically a comedy. It's just a great movie. The performances are just terrific. I had said before when I first talked about the movie, this is the first movie in a long time I've seen where the audience burst into applause, not at the end of the movie, but during a key moment in the movie, which just don't see that happen very often. And then they applauded at the end as well. So, I mean, Love, Simon is just an awesome coming-of-age comedy with some drama. Maybe it's a drama with a lot of comedy, but just an absolutely terrific
dramedy.
Movie. Yeah.
Or a comma.
Yeah, it's a comma.
Okay. As long as it's not a semicolon. Just saying. I guess my number two movie was what could be number one on either of you. Infinity War, which I put just... I was debating as to whether that should be above or below Black Panther, because I think they're pretty much, they're actually kind of equal in my mind. Both had great stories, both had great characters that we've grown to love over the past decade, it's been now. Great special effects, great story, and I think they're doing I think they did a pretty good job of adapting the books that it's based on to scale it back. I mean, as many characters that are in this movie, they still had to scale it back because the Fantastic Four are not there. The X-Men aren't there. Silver Surfer and Galactus and all those characters are not there. So, yeah, it's scaled back, but they did it in a way that works. So good for them. Is that either of you guys' number one movie that I just stepped on?
That is my number one.
It's not my number one.
Uh-oh.
No way. That movie sucked. No, I'm just kidding. It was good. It was very good. And we talked, Rob and I talked just before the show about how I could have included that if we'd had a top five, but I still didn't think it. I wanted to have other films that I think did more justice to me. But
So you guys, I guess you guys
the Justice
are done,
League movie? Are you?
Justice League was a fantastic film. No, the best movie I've seen of 2018 is Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, I'm just kidding. So it's Paddington 2. Because there's a synopsis that the Los Angeles Times wrote that I remember that going into the film. And basically it says it's an exquisite reminder of the wondrous things that can happen when a storyteller of boundless imagination avails himself of some rigorous discipline. And that's exactly what it's a children's movie that adults can enjoy, which you hear a lot. But it's not that, oh, there's some adult humor. It's not even that. It's just that you can empathize as an adult when you were a kid with what these adults are also seeing in these kids. I mean, it's just a phenomenal movie that is unpredictable. And it's just fun. And it has, of course, it has some of my favorite actors, Hugh Grant, Brendan Gleeson, Hugh Bonneville are in it. But it's just the way that the actors themselves, you can just tell it's a fun movie, supposed to be a fun movie. And you can just tell they're having fun themselves making this film. Because if you watch Paddington 2 and you watch Hugh Grant's the bad guy. But if you watch Hugh Grant make this film and you don't think this guy's not having fun making this film and just being all just theatrical and goofy, then but goofy smart, really. Goofy, then you don't know anything about films, because they're just having fun making the film. It's a fun movie. It has, again, boundless imagination. What they do with it is unlike any kids movie that you would see, because it has, like I said, it's not by rote. It's unpredictable. And does it have a happy ending? Well, yeah, of course it's Paddington. I mean, he's not going to die. It's not like Thanos is going to show up and kill him too. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a fun movie, which is exactly what movies like that should be. And to me, because of the unpredictability, because of the actors having fun, because of the direction, it's the best film I've seen of 2018 so far.
And I'll have a question for you. I want to touch on the Infinity War movie. But then I have a quick question, a couple questions for you, Lee, actually, about Paddington, because I don't want to step on it, because that should be the last thing we talk about as far as the best movies. Infinity War, I chose that as my number one, and it was really a struggle between going with that and Black Panther. And I didn't want to put two genre movies on out of three. So that's why I went with Infinity War instead of Black Panther. But one of the things they did, you mentioned when you were talking about it, Rob, how they had to cut down from the bigger story that's in the books, which, of course, that's the essence of making good movies, is cutting it down to a mere 2 hour and 40 minute, whatever time frame. The fact that they were able to juggle all of these different stories and all of these different characters, and everybody got their moment to shine, it was amazing. The fact that they made a villain the lead character, and finally the villain survives. Not only survives, but the villain wins. That takes, to me, that took tremendous courage for Marvel. I mean, they've been building towards this, like you said, Rob, for 10 years. All these great characters, everybody loves. And, a lot of them are going to die. Who the heck does that? Who kills off, like, half of their franchise? And, yeah, we understand, because, unfortunately, because of the way the movie business works now, we all know Spider-Man Far From Home is coming. We all know Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming. So that's an unfortunate aspect of just how things work. But regardless, they still had the guts to kill off some major characters in some really, kind of heart-rending scenes in some cases. The fact that, in some ways, the heroes turned out to be the villains, like it's a couple characters' fault that Thanos manages to succeed. Thanos is just trying to fix things. He's crazy, but he's... in his mind, and we were talking about this when we were first talking about the movie when it came out, we had mentioned how, Thanos is, he's the good guy in this, as he sees it. Right. And that's what makes his character so interesting, because he thinks he's saving the universe by killing half of it off. It's, you compare this to the Justice League movie, which it's not a terrible movie, but man alive, I mean, there's no comparison between... I mean, you actually have some real feelings that are generated by a comic book movie. That doesn't happen too often compared to Justice League. And it's like, well, okay, which villain are they going to plug in this time?
Yeah, unfortunately, so, that's the way they've been going.
Which is why I think the Infinity War, I mean, it's really well done. But the fact that it's just on the meta look at it, it's the fact that they have the guts to do this with their entire franchise. this just spoke volumes to me about that Marvel has a clear vision of what they're doing. They knew they were headed to this probably 2 weeks after Iron Man made a lot of money.
Right.
it's just incredible. But back to Paddington 2, Lee.
Yes.
I have two questions. One, do you have to watch or should you watch Paddington before Paddington 2? Because I have not yet seen Paddington, and that's why I have held off on Paddington 2. And I really want to see it because your review before is like, wow, this movie sounds awesome. And the other question is, would it be better if Bill Murray played Paddington?
Well, if it was a live action Paddington, yes. just dressed up like a bear.
Like a bear. the TV series that the name of it escapes me now, but where the guy dresses up like a dog.
Wilford,
yeah. Oh my god, that show is so funny. Anyway, thank you. Oh my gosh, that's it. Paddington 3, Bill Murray dressed up. Anyway, sorry. Paddington. Back to Paddington.
No, you definitely do not have to have
really?
The first one. Yeah, the second one stands alone. Just like the first one was great too. The second one probably even better, but you do not have to see, because you do they hint at some of the things that happened in the first one a little bit, but only to like as far as retrospect. You don't actually have to see those things to enjoy the second film. And Bill Murray as the bear, maybe. I mean, I can see it. I can see it.
But then he wouldn't be British, so that makes it sad.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't have to be.
I guess it's true.
I mean, you know, it could be. He could be from Canada. I know you hate Canadians, clearly.
He could be from Canada. Oh my gosh!
Because that's fun.
All Canada has ever given us is hockey, which I don't watch. And that hiker that they threw in jail for 2 weeks.
Isn't it funny though that Canada has given us hockey, but yet they don't get the Stanley Cup back?
That's
just
sad.
Saying. It's been several thousand years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup.
Well, there's only six teams left in Canada.
Yeah, but they could be the Canadians won it. Like, they're the Yankees of hockey, but they haven't won it in so long. Actually, the last.
They should just make a super team and just condense the six teams into one.
Yeah, they're getting closer. They got close this year. But when Vegas has a team in its first season and they make the Stanley Cup Finals.
That was just weird.
Oh, because yeah. It was because this is way off movies, but it was the way Gary Bettman, who's the, well,
right.
You know, it's the way he designed it. Other teams had to cut high-priced good players, so Vegas ended up with a whole bunch of really good players. So it was almost like they created a super team, and it was like, oh, when Seattle gets their NHL team, which is should be announced anytime, that will not be the case. They'll go back to the way they were because it's embarrassing when you have a team that makes the finals of your league in the first year. That should not happen.
Okay. And obviously we're way off movies, but that was my next question because, yeah, I don't think that should happen either, but they need to find a middle ground between typical expansion teams, which are absolute garbage and gives no one a reason to go watch them, and a team that makes the finals. You know, it's like, can we kind of tailor that a little bit better? But of the two, I think the NHL went the right way. I mean, I think it's embarrassing.
Far.
Exactly. They went too far.
Just to throw us back in the general topic of movies.
Miracle is a great movie.
There's probably going to be a movie made out of these Vegas nights first. I mean, they probably already got one underway.
Probably two.
Can I throw my number one movie out?
No.
Because, you know.
You did that already. I thought you already said your number.
No, Black Panther and Avengers are all I've gotten so far. That would be two of the three. We didn't even talk about this movie when it came out because everyone, I think we all thought it was going to suck. And I thought it was going to, but, you know, the motto of our show, we watch movies so you don't have to. I watched this movie and actually I think everybody else should as well. I'm not sure if it's even in theater. I saw it at a dollar theater last week. It comes out on DVD later this month. And it's based on a video game, which is not something, you know, a good movie based on a video game we don't hear about very often.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's the video game that we thought, how the hell can you turn this into a movie? They figured it out.
Really?
It's Rampage. I'd like to be kidding about this. The first thing they put on the screen worried me. It's made by ASAP Entertainment, which to me says they rushed this out. It's not going to be good. But after that, the movie, it's based on the video game from 1980, whatever about big monsters that beat up cities. How can you turn that into a movie? Well, here's what they did. There's an evil corporation that will stop at nothing to get their illegal genetic experiments done. And since they're illegal in the U.S., we open the movie on a satellite where there is a girl, but there's no milk cow, which is a different movie altogether. Satellite blows up, things fall to Earth, and now we cut to Jumanji, which makes no sense. It's actually not Jumanji. It's the San Diego Zoo where The Rock works, and he's leading three other people. So it looked like Jumanji, and I thought, I'm watching the wrong movie. What the hell? But yeah, it's the San Diego Zoo where there are plenty of apes, but no chargers. Ask me about my sport and how that pisses me off. Anyway, The Rock works with animals because he likes animals better than people. Fine. But I was also thinking, don't animal workers generally love the environment? And if so, why is he driving this big V8 Ford Bronco with big exhaust pipes? That doesn't fit. Once we get past the first 5 minutes, the evil satellite that exploded dropped an experimental MacGuffin on the San Diego Zoo and the Everglades and somewhere in a desert that has coyotes. And it infected a big alligator, or an alligator, a coyote, and The Rock's friend, who's an albino ape that knows sign language. And it turned them really big, and they go beat the crap out of cities. And The Rock gets swept up in the have to stop them and get to the corporation headquarters that has a cure for it. The corporation headquarters, in the main, their main office. You know how you have the big corporate offices where they've got a pool table and the big screen TV. In the background of this office is a Rampage video game, which I thought was brilliant product placement. But actually, the whole movie turns into it's a monster movie, but it's not cheesy like some of the Godzilla movies. It's not really, you know, actually scary, but it is an awful lot of fun. Like the video game was fun. It was just a mindless button mashing movie or video game. But and a lot of the video game ended up in this movie, with the exception of the guy in the bathtub.
Really? You don't have the guy in the bathtub?
I'm very disappointed by that, actually.
I am disappointed too, because why would they not do that?
I don't know. But there's it was an extraordinarily fun movie. With, you know, lots of game elements. There are some odd camera angles, especially during the parachuting scene, which for some reason we get a look up The Rock's nose so we can see that The Rock can smell what he's cooking. Fine. That's my Rock joke. It was actually a lot of fun. So when it comes out on, I think it's the 17th of July, get it streaming, get the DVD, something. It's something I think this is going to be one of those movies that you're going to want to watch, you know, periodically, because you're going to go, I need to watch something fun. I've had a crap day. Let's watch Rampage, because it doesn't get overly graphically violent. It's a very violent movie. Cities are being destroyed. Chicago falls apart. Spoiler. They blow up Chicago. But yeah, it's a fun movie with some great quippy lines to it, because, hey, The Rock's in it. Who knew there would be quippy lines?
Imagine that.
Like, was it Jeffrey Dean Morgan shows up as the cowboy-like FBI agent, and they're like, oh yeah, but he won't say who he works for. So like, so who do you work for? FBI? Homeland? Justice League? Yeah, plugging their own Warner Brothers movie. Well done. But yeah, really good movie. Lots of fun. Go see it, because no one went to see it in the theater other than me, at least on this show anyway.
I think, that's really, yeah. So how much money did it make? Because it's The Rock. You think it would have made...
Well, it came out, I think it came out the same time as Black Panther. So
it was like the week after or something like that, right? The week before, the week after.
It still made
$423 million.
Yeah, 97, and its budget was 120. So, I mean, it's even with the overseas, it's probably made money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, 424 globally.
Right.
This was
Dwayne Johnson's 15th movie of 2018.
It was. He's in fucking everything.
He is. Yeah,
I'm waiting for him to be Batman.
He just needs to change his name to Chris, and he can be one of those guys. So it's coming out in just a couple weeks, right? I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing we hadn't talked about, because I don't know if it was last week or actually might have been announced quite a bit before, and we talked about this, how short the window is between theatrical release and, now you can watch it at home. Avengers Infinity War, August 14th already.
Yeah.
Digital, the end of the month, July 31st, if it shows up. July 31st, which is crazy. I mean, the movie's made $2 billion, and it's like, ah, just a few months later, and you can watch it at home. It, man, that turnaround is just insane. As we said before, it used to be, it's like, wow, wouldn't it be great if they released Star Wars before I die? You know, it's yeah. Like, amazing how short that turnaround is now.
There were some other movies that had really quick release turnarounds that, hang on a minute, I'm pulling up the list. Yeah, Deadpool's coming out in August. Solo is coming out in September. And those are just the ones I happen to have written down.
Solo just passed the $200 million mark for domestically, by the way. Just saying something for a failure of a film.
Yeah,
it still makes exactly. $200 million.
Exactly. It's making a lot of money, and yet it's because the standards are so high for that franchise. It's a financial failure. Weird.
Which is
very weird.
Very sad, but it's a note to end the show on, because I've got nothing else. Do you have anything else?
I'll take $200 million, and you can call me a failure all you like.
Ah.
Yeah, and actually...
Sounds like a plan.
This weekend, 30 years ago, Coming to America came out. 30 years
starring
ago.
Starring Neve Campbell. No, that's the wrong one.
No, it's still, you know, Sexual Chocolate. I mean, that was such a fun movie, too, you know? It was definitely not a great film, but it was when Eddie Murphy still made funny films. I don't know. That was a film I really liked, but 30 years ago, gosh, it's crazy.
That is some crazy. Unbelievable.
I feel old. Thanks. So we'll be back next week with more news and reviews, although not necessarily in the same show. Yeah, we'll explain that next week. Good night, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.